We normally save the fourth Sunday of the month for our theme Sunday, which we've been talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. But given the fact that many may be out of town next weekend, I'm going to bump that up to this week. And so we're going to be talking from Galatians chapter 5, the concluding lesson of this theme series that we've done all year long. And what Jordan said in his lesson was, we are to follow the example of Jesus to be like Him. And that has been the thrust, the importance of all that we've studied this year when we've talked about these attributes that we call the fruit of the Spirit. The purpose for which we have been examining them, as he well said, is that we might look at Jesus. And looking at Jesus may realize how utterly important it is that we strive to be like Him, but that we let the Spirit transform us to be in His image. And I'd like to read beginning in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit. If then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In Christ, we are to have a new spirit and a new heart. In fact, Paul will say to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 4, that comes as a result of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit creates in us a new heart, a new spirit. And creating in us that new heart and new spirit, we then take on the nature of the Spirit. He that is born of the Spirit shall what have the nature of the Spirit. We then have as our habit of life the character and the disposition of the Spirit that has been breathed into us. As the Spirit breathed forth the Word of God, and the Word of God has been revealed. Paul will say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When that Spirit breathed forth that Word, and that Word found residence in our hearts, it created within us a new heart and a new spirit. And with that new heart and new spirit, therefore, created within us a new kind of life. That new heart and that new spirit are to take on the image of Christ Himself. And so when we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we've been talking about, but we come to the culmination of all this. And we'll look at this from a bigger picture than what we've just been focusing upon as we've talked about each one of these attributes. And the first thing we want to ask as we begin to think about this is we want to ask the question, as we live in the Spirit, who rules? Who rules? Because really what you have here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 is a contest. You have a contest about who's going to rule. Is it going to be the flesh? Or is it going to be the Spirit? In fact, you begin this very statement in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is the victory cry. There's the victory cry of those who are being transformed to be like Jesus. The reason that we lust, the reason that we hate, the reason that we fear, the reason that we are anxious, the reason that we have dissensions, the reason that we are envious is because of the flesh. And when we think of the flesh, We're not just thinking about this body that we call the flesh. We're thinking about a particular mindset. We're thinking about a particular attitude. We're thinking about a heart. The reason we have the kind of heart that wars against the Spirit is because there's a rule in place. But what Paul is helping us see is that when we are walking, he says, in the Spirit, there's a new ruler. There's a new ruler. No longer is it the flesh that rules, but now it is the Spirit that rules. And the Spirit rules, filling us with a spiritual mind. And with that spiritual mind, walking in the Spirit, we now have a different ruler so that we no longer battle the things of the flesh in the sense that they rule us. The fight might continue, but we have hope of a victory. That's the victory cry that he gives us here. So that he will then say, but if you're led in the Spirit, you're not under the law. So when we think about Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, we have to ask the question, who's ruling? Who's ruling our heart? Whose spirit do we have? Whose mind do we have? What are we producing in our life? Are we producing the fruit of the Spirit, or are we producing the works of the flesh? In fact, if you hold your finger there in Galatians chapter 5 and turn back to Romans chapter 6 just a moment. Romans chapter 6, there's some things in Romans chapter 6 that are companion to some things that are said in Galatians chapter 5. He begins in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? He says, absolutely not. Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you're that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Did you get it there in verse 16? Don't you know who you present yourself slaves to obey? That's the one that is your master. Are we then walking after the flesh, or are we walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit? Who's ruling our life? Only when the Spirit rules, only when the Spirit rules, will we have in place the fruit of the Spirit. We can tell. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out. You can take a cursory look at this world, and you can tell in this world, who's ruling this world? Is it the prince of the power of darkness, the flesh, or is it the king himself? Who's ruling? When we see in this world all the things that are illustrative of the works of the flesh, we don't have to wonder who's ruling this world. But let's bring that home. Who's ruling us? When we see in our lives those things that are illustrative of the work of the flesh, it's not a question of rule. Someone's going to rule. Either the flesh is going to rule us or we'll rule it. Remember that? Self-control. We'll rule it or it will rule us. Who's ruling our lives? Is it the Spirit that's producing in us a spiritual mind? Or is it the flesh that is producing us a fleshly mind that performs the works of the flesh? Who's ruling in our life? That's really what Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 is all about. But that then brings us to the question then, if the Spirit rules, how do we live? Interesting little word here that begins, he says, I say then, here it is, walk. Walk in the Spirit. That word walk is a very pictographic kind of word. It's a very active word. It's a word that depicts a manner of life, a habit of life. This is an ongoing practice. This is not the still picture that might be taken. This is the projector or the film, the video that's ongoing. It's the habit of life. It's something that is present, that is continuing on. So what he's saying is day by day, moment by moment, day by day, moment by moment, we are what? We're walking in the Spirit. When the Spirit rules our hearts, when the Spirit creates within us a new heart and a new spirit, what he's saying is this then becomes the manner or the habit of our life. How does that take place? Well, it begins, as Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning in about verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Companion to that, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. How does it happen? Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When the Spirit of God through His revelation has been implanted in our hearts, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, when His Spirit has been implanted in our hearts by the Word that He has revealed, and that Word is ruling our lives, then it's not an accidental thing. It's not an accidental thing that what you see are the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it would be quite the anomaly that what you would have is someone who would say, the Word of God has been implanted in my life to create in me a new spirit and a new heart, and therefore have that one's life characterized as walking after the works of the flesh. That word walk again is interesting when the Word of God dwells in us. Just an overview of some things that happen, some things that take place when you talk about walk. Paul will talk about in the book of Ephesians, walk in love. Walk in light. Walk circumspectly or carefully. Furthermore, Paul will talk about walk in humility. He'll talk about walk doing all good works. Paul will talk about walking, and as we walk in our life, we demonstrate all these attributes. You walk in love. You walk in joy. You walk in peace. You walk in meekness. You walk in long-suffering. You walk in goodness. You walk in gentleness. You walk in self-control. All these things are things that are going on in our lives. Moment by moment, day by day, as we carry on our life, these are things that are visible, that are seen, because we have a new heart and a new spirit that has been created within us by the Spirit who breathed life into us when His Word was implanted in our heart. You see, He says you walk. Now, back to Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to notice the opposite of this. Notice what he says when we have the works of the flesh. He says there is hatred. You see, the works of the flesh, Satan wants us filled with hatred. He says, furthermore, there are contentions. He wants us fighting jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, all these things that have to do with difficulty of people getting along with one another. All those things, when you see those things taking place, what he's telling us is we're not walking in the Spirit. But when we walk in the Spirit, the habit of our life produces what? All the things we've been talking about that are the fruit of the Spirit. The reason we war, the reason we battle, the reason that we are in conflict is because we're battling the flesh with a fleshly mind and a fleshly spirit that produces those contentions, those fears, those anxieties in our life. The flesh wants to ruin our lives. The flesh wants to ruin our families. The flesh wants to ruin our marriages. But when we walk in the Spirit, and when the Spirit is leading and guiding us as we have that manner of life, here we have the solutions to the things that we battle in our lives. But that brings us to a third consideration. And that asks the question, where is real freedom? Did you catch this statement twice that it is stated in Galatians chapter 5? He says, verse 18, if you live by the Spirit, you're not under law. But then he comes down and later on he will say, against these things there is no law. Why will he say, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law, and if you produce the fruit of the Spirit, there's nothing that's law that's binding you? Why would he say that? Because first of all, there's no condemnation. Paul will say in Christ, there's no condemnation, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There's no condemnation. When you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, there's no condemnation there. Law doesn't measure. You don't run yourself against the law. You're not breaking yourself against the law. You're walking in step with the Spirit. As you walk in step with the Spirit, you're walking in step with His Word that has been revealed as that is filling our lives and all being filled with all the fullness of God. There's not a law. There's not a law that can point an accusing finger at us and say, you've broken the law. However, when there's adultery, when there's fornication, when there's lewdness, when there's idolatry, when there's envying, murders, what? There's a law that points. There's a law that accuses. Why? Because the law speaks contrary to those things. So the first reason we have freedom, and where we have freedom, is in the fruit of the Spirit, because there's not a law that we're measured by, because there's no law against those things. Those things are in harmony with the law. But there's also real freedom here, because now we have been delivered from the bondage of death. We've now been delivered from the bondage of death. Notice what he will say in verse 21. And of such things like this I tell you, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's not a positive thing said about the works of the flesh, but there's not a negative thing said about the fruit of the Spirit. And what he says about the fruit of the Spirit is, we now have been, as we walk in the Spirit, we have what? Been delivered. We've been delivered from the fear of death. Why? Because there's no law against these things. There's nothing that's going to condemn us. We don't stand condemned before God. So when we've talked about these attributes that are the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about how we can really be free. We're talking about how we can be free in Christ and against life where there is no law that accuses us whatsoever and where we have no fear of death. But when the flesh is ruling our hearts and the flesh is creating within us that mind, he says those are the things that we fear. Notice there's something else that he will say here. When he will say down in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Did you get that? Have crucified the flesh. That's an interesting verb to consider there. It's not just simply past tense, as we would look at have done. It's the idea that at a point in time, there was something that was done. At a point in time, you determined something. In the book of Ephesians, turn to chapter 4 real quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 22. And verse 24, he said that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 24, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice the distinction between what he's saying there in verse 23 and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you get the picture that's different there? He says, here's something you put off, but here's something in which you are renewed. This idea of put off is not continue to put off. But the idea of put off, or the idea of crucifying the flesh with its passions and lust thereof, is that there is a point in time in my life in which I said, I am done with that. I'm done with the flesh. I'm done. I'm done with the passions of this life. I am crucifying that old man. I am putting that man to death. I think what he's talking about there is the moment of repentance in our life. Repentance is that point in our life that we plant as an anchor that says, I'm through with saying no to God. I'm going to say yes to God and no to Satan. I'm through being ruled by the flesh with all intents and purposes. Yes, we may find ourselves away from that and have to come back to that anchor, but we never pull that anchor up. We always go back to that anchor point that stands as the moment that begins our transformation. Don't we see that the Spirit is the source of our transformation? That as we walk in the Spirit, having created within us a new heart and a new spirit, that old man with his passions and lusts has been crucified. He has been put to death. In other words, when that old man has been put to death, those things that are the works of the flesh are no longer going to be characteristic of our lives. It is completely incongruous to say that what we have done is we have crucified the flesh and its passions and commit adultery and continue in fornication and continue in hatred, continue in strife, continue in contentions, continue in revelry, continue in hatred, continue in murder. Those things are completely incongruous. Therefore, it's incongruous for someone who says they're walking in the Spirit and then begin to practice those things. What happens is there's been an anchor that's been pulled up. What we've done is we've changed our mind about having changed our mind. We said we were through with the flesh. We put to death that old man, but now that old man's been resurrected instead of a new man. And now that old man is ruling again. Now we're walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. Now we're walking by the flesh, not walking by the Spirit. Do you notice the progression there? Walking in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit. But we walk in the flesh and we walk by the flesh. He says, no. When you bear the fruit of the Spirit, it's because you have put to death. You've put to death that old man, and there is where real freedom is found. And so if we find ourselves active and participating in the things that are descriptive of the works of the flesh, we need to back up and ask the question again, who's ruling? Who's ruling my heart? Who's ruling my life? And if I find myself there, what I do is I remember what I've said I would do. I've crucified that man. He's raised his head again. But I'm going to remember I put him to death. I'm going to remember who's ruling, who's leading, by whose life I am walking. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit. And therefore produce the fruit of the Spirit. Did you get the progression there? I walk in relationship to the Spirit because I'm led by the Spirit to produce what? The fruit of the Spirit. And when I walk in the Spirit and am led by the Spirit, by that spiritual mind that He has created within me, there's no death to that. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You see the same kind of thing Paul will speak about here in Romans chapter 8. Notice beginning in verse 5. This is the same thing he's saying in Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Question. What are the things of the flesh that we set our minds on? Adultery, fornication, hatred, envy, strife, contentions, revelry, murdery, idolatry, sorcery. Those are the things of the flesh. And what does he say? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things. What they're doing is, this is the habit of life. That's what they're thinking about. The flesh is ruling them. But, those who live according to the Spirit, what? Set their mind on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, self-control, meekness. So that he says, for to be carnally minded is death. To walk after the flesh is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because there's no law against them. When that spiritual mind created within us with that new heart, that new Spirit by the Holy Spirit, when He breathed into us His very words of life that gave us life, what He says is we have a spiritual mind. We now have a different mind. But that different mind began when we crucified the passions and the lust thereof. So that He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there is no subject, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. That's exactly what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 6. To walk after the flesh is death. But to walk after the Spirit with that spiritual mind that is created in us and ruling us is life. Why? Because there's no such law against those things. It's interesting. We want freedom. But we wind up being enslaved to sin all over again. Just because we came to that point in life that said, I'm done with it, doesn't mean that Satan's done with us. In fact, now what he's going to do is he's going to ratchet up the attempts all the more to try to seduce us even more because he's lost a captive. But how do we conquer? We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And we produce the works of the Spirit. So what is the key to victory over the flesh? Have you noticed something else here? He doesn't say in verse 22, but the works of the Spirit are. He says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are. But he doesn't say in verse 22, the works of the Spirit are. Because these aren't works of the Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. He says, the Spirit working in you produces these fruit. This is the kind of fruit. He don't produce these works. He produces this fruit. And he wants that distinct for us. We walk after the works of the flesh. Are we what have the fruit of the Spirit that is a byproduct of walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit? These are attributes of which the Spirit produces His fruit. This is how we can tell that we're in Him. So let's bring that home just a little bit. If I'm having trouble in my marriage, I might want to ask myself, am I walking in the Spirit or am I producing the works of the flesh? Is there immorality? Is that being led by the Spirit or is that being led by the flesh? Is there hatred between mates? Is that being led by the Spirit? Is that being led by the flesh? Is there always enmity, fussing and fighting, contentions between husband and wife? Am I walking in the Spirit? Led by the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit? Am I led by the flesh? You see, I can tell. Yeah, but it's not just in my marriage. There's contention in the family too. Am I walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, producing the fruit of the Spirit? That's the answer that produces love, joy, and peace. Because I've been brought under control and being ruled by the Spirit, self-control, being ruled by Him. Are the things that are the flesh, the outbursts of wrath, the dissensions, are those things that are characteristic of my relationship? Well, if those things are characteristic of my relationship, then question who's leading, who's ruling. I just have trouble getting along with people. I just have a problem getting along with people because there always seems to be an argument. Well, is it because I'm selfish as opposed to long-suffering and kind? Am I putting in my life the fruit of the Spirit because I'm led by Him, because I walk in relationship to Him? Is there contentions in my life with others because I'm not filled with joy and peace and goodness, meekness? You see, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 is the answer to all of life's problems. There's not a problem in life. There's not a problem in marriage. There's not a problem in a family. There's not a problem in a local church that cannot be solved if we have the Spirit ruling our hearts with that new heart and new mind He has implanted in us. When He breathed into us His very word of life and produces in us this kind of fruit. But we have problems with relationships and we have problems with the world. Not because of the Spirit, but because of the flesh. And so this year what we've tried to do is we've tried to get a laser focus to what it means to be transformed, to be like Jesus, to look like Him. It begins with that new spirit, that new mind in which that old man is put to death. And it proceeds from there by a completely different manner of life that produces fruit in us that is the byproduct of the Spirit's work in our life. That is the answer to all the contentions and controversies that life can produce, that is produced in life by the flesh itself. In fact, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Haven't we had enough? Haven't we had enough misery? Haven't we had enough of sin? Haven't we had enough of the taste of ruination in our lives? Because of immorality, because of hatred, because of strife, because of selfishness, because of envy. Haven't we had enough of that? Do we really still want to wallow in it? Is that what we want to be staying with? Listen. There's freedom. There's freedom. We can be done with those things as the habit of our life, as the pattern of our life. We can walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and produce the fruit of the Spirit. And as a result of that, we therefore can provoke one another to love and good works. We can stimulate each other to what to be more transformed to be like Him. When you look into the mirror of God's Word, when we look there, whose image? Whose image do we see? It's not hard. It's not hard. But we have to open our eyes. And we have to be willing to be led by a spirit different than our own. And a spirit different than the flesh. Because the end of that life is death. If not here, eternally. But the end of life with the Spirit is life now and life everlasting. How do we have key? What's the key to victory over the flesh? Crucify the flesh. Be led by the Spirit. And produce the fruit of the Spirit. Who rules you? Who rules me? Well, who's your master? Who are you following? That's how we can tell. The Spirit invites. He wants to renew and regenerate you by the washing of His Word. And He calls you to the Savior while we stand and while we sing.